From Bio 2006 in Chicago, I'm Chuck Zimmerman. In this interview, we're going to talk about ways that one company in particular is working with the ethanol business. And with me is Mark Emmelfarb and Glenn Nedwin from Dyadic. I'll let you, Mark, first of all, just tell us what your company is and what you do.
Dyadic is a industrial enzyme company that has created a way to make enzymes in big tanks at low cost. We've genetically engineered a fungus to be used as a biofactory to be produced in 150,000-liter fermenters. And some of the things we're doing is I kind of equate the Human Genome Project, where you sequence the human genome to find the genes to make drugs. We sequence the genome of this particular fungus that's proprietary and patented by Dyadic to be able to find enzymes that can be used to make ethanol better and cheaper, and a whole bunch of other industrial proteins for pulp and paper, feed, food, and textiles.
So your company is doing business in a lot of different parts of the world and in a lot of different areas besides just ethanol, too.
Yeah, we actually are the ones that pioneered the stonewashed blue jean business, starting outside the pumice stone, teaching Levi Gesemring how to wash jeans, soften and fade them, and then went to the industrial enzymes to replace the pumice or as an adjunct to the pumice. And then the method we use to make those enzymes is being used for food, feed, pulp and paper, textile, and now, of course, redesigning the enzymes to be used to make ethanol quicker, better, and cheaper.
So when I think that right there, that last statement is what I find of most interest to what you're doing, making ethanol more efficiently and therefore less expensively, and I think this is an issue right now as we look at the increased production. Can you give us a little synopsis of how you are actually making that happen with your products, with these companies that have the plants that are producing the ethanol?
You know, today you make ethanol from cornstarch, and the enzymes have a small component of that, let's say 5 cents out of making ethanol for a dollar. To make it out of cellulosic material, it's estimated the cost is somewhere between $2 and $3. And the enzyme component, which used to be a major component of that, is now a much, let's say it's not the key component anymore. Through engineering high-level strains of fungus that make up mixtures of cellulases, we've been able to bring down the cost of the enzyme component to make the ethanol. Now, when we talk about cellulosic ethanol, we have, you know, several different factions that are important. One is the collection of the biomass, the pretreatment, the use of the enzymes to hydrolyze the sugars, and then the fermentation. We've been working on the enzyme hydrolysis part, and now working with different companies to try and integrate this will bring down the cost further. So I also like to add that, so that's the cellulosic component, but the more near term is converting what's left over now when you make ethanol from starch, which is the DDGs, the distiller's dry grains. That is a mixture of protein, oil, and hemicellulose and xylans. And so the C5 and C6 sugars there can be converted to make ethanol, which leaves a higher protein content. So you have a higher value animal feed, and then you can make additional ethanol. And Dyadic has been working for a couple of years in collaboration with the Department of Energy and the Iowa Corn Processing Board to look at different enzyme mixtures to actually upgrade this DDG to a higher value and make more ethanol. So the two components we're working on is the near-term DDGs and then longer-term the cellulosic ethanol part.
So when we talk about increasing efficiency with the products that you're making, can you describe as you look out in the future just where you see it going or what's possible as if we keep going this direction?
Well, I think if you relate it to the computer chip industry, okay, where you take IBM and, you know, for $1 million we used to be able to buy a computer that was less powerful than a PC for $1,000 today. And I think in the enzyme world is very synergistic to that example. We continue to find new genes that encode for better enzymes. We're able to produce them at higher levels. We've just sequenced the genome of this fungus. We're now annotating that in conjunction with the Scripps Research Institute in La Jolla, but in the Scripps, Florida operation. And the knowledge we're going to gain is going to allow us to make this even more powerful, to be able to drive levels of productivity even higher, and to be able to make these enzymes better and cheaper, and through that, drive the cost of not only ethanol production down, but a variety of other industrial applications. And I think one of the things that's important is that people have to realize that enzymes, it's not only just the supply side, we're reducing the demand side of energy by using enzymes and through biotechnology. I'm going to give you two examples of, in addition to ethanol, which is abundantly more supply, we have an enzyme we use in the biorefining of pulp and paper. You know, the pulp and paper industry is a big industry. It's a huge consumer of energy. It's the third largest industry in the world. We put an enzyme in the water. It modifies the fiber in a way that allows them to process that pulp more efficiently. So they end up saving 20 to 60% steam and electricity. They get higher throughput. They get stronger fiber. They get cleaner water and better efficiencies in their plant. So there we've reduced the demands, which means we've got to produce less supply. So from hitting it from both sides, I think we can solve the energy crisis. And I think that today, the American public, and I think the public all over the world, has the political will we never had before to really drive this to conclusion. So I think, you know, biotech is one part of it. Obviously, solar energy, alternative vehicles, there's all kinds of ways that we can reduce our demand for energy as well as increase our supply.
And what you're doing with these enzymes, to make sure I understand, and our listeners, our visitors too, you're talking about something that's, can I say, earth-friendly?
Absolutely. The organisms we're working with are fungus. They're found in nature. They grow on sugar, which is renewable. And when you're done making your enzyme products, you can actually use it as a high-value fertilizer. So, I mean, there's very little waste in this process.
Really, there's no real downside, you know, if the way when you look at it that way.
Actually, there's an upside because, to give you an example again, the pulp and paper industry, we're able to reduce the use of caustic soda and chlorine dioxide and other harsh chemicals in the process. So, in fact, not only do we improve the process and improve the product, but the water that's being discharged is much cleaner, and it's much more environmentally friendly for the worker to work with.
What else do you think the consuming public, you know, your average person who is wondering about whether or not they should put ethanol in their car, whether they can even get it, and is it more expensive or not than regular gasoline? Is from the standpoint of dietetic, what anything else that you think they would need or want to know that we haven't covered so far?
Well, I think it's important, again, from the term from dietetic, is that we've developed a way to mass produce proteins. This is just one of the many uses of enzymes. You know, once you get the glucose, whether it's from starch or whether it's from cellulose, and you get the fermentable sugars, ethanol is just one of the many things that can be made from glucose. And to give you an example, take DuPont Serrano. It's a multi-billion-dollar polymer. They used to buy petroleum, and with that petroleum, they would make polymers that would be made into clothes. They've now developed a biopolymer that's made from glucose. So, we've reduced the demand of energy significantly in that case, which means that, you know, we can reduce the cost because there's less demand for energy, not just the supply. So the key here is there's a whole bunch of products that are going to be derived from glucose or fermentable sugars. Ethanol is just one of many things.
Thank you very much. That's Mark Emmelfarb and Glenn Nedwin with Dietetic International, which you can find on the American Stock Exchange under the symbol DIL, and from Bio 2006 and sponsored by Ray and Kaiser Marketing and Communications. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.